You're listening to the Under Starters Orders Racing Podcast. Expert racing analysis from both sides of the Irish Sea. So stay tuned for the best insights and opinions on the weekend's racing here on the Under Starters Orders Podcast.
Cheers for the beer, Matt. Boys, Understarters Orders, check them out on Twitter at USO Podcast. These boys know a thing or two about horse racing.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Understarters Orders Podcast. It's Epsom's Derby meeting, and we'll be joined by my three stooges, the two Irish guys and the Londoner, who's had a bit of a tough week, haven't you, Steve?
I have indeed, mate. Yeah, how you doing?
I'm all right, yeah, buddy. Looking forward to this weekend's racing. So should be some nice clues going forward. Let's welcome in Andy Cummins. Hello, Andy.
Gents, how are we getting on?
All right, buddy. How are you? Yeah, good. How's the haircut looking now?
Still looking a bit like Lloyd Christmas, but we're getting there.
Who was it done by? You want to give the barbers a plug?
I actually don't remember. There was just no line, so I went in.
Awesome. That's so easy, isn't it? All right, Declan.
Good evening, lads. That's the crack.
That hair's never going to be cut, isn't it?
Too busy. Too busy for the week.
Well, as always, we've got a very, very busy schedule this week. Well, this Thursday night. Ready for the 2 days of the Kazoo Derby Festival at Epsom. We're also going to be joined by Caitlin Free. She'll be joining us in the next two or three minutes to talk us through the Belmont Stakes over at Belmont Park in... Which New York, isn't it, Belmont Park?
New York, yeah.
Yeah, that's right, New York, yeah. New York. Should know things like that, shouldn't I? Good evening, Reggie. He's there in the background. Hello, Reggie. Evening, guys. Looking forward to Andy's King of the Classic 66-1 Derby shout.
It's coming.
A lot to live up to there, Andy. What price is yours, Declan, for the Derby?
Mine? Well, only single figures.
Oh, and what about yours, Steve?
Mine's on the ferry to France.
On the ferry to France. Beautiful. Well, we may as well get started. Let's talk about these first. What are these?
The beer mats you won't send me.
Things that Andy and Declan and Steve are still waiting for, isn't it?
Only a few members could get them.
Only official members can get these. You're not official members, boys, yet.
I wouldn't mind you drinking those as well.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you do, actually. Anyway, cheers. Cheers. Let's get cracking. Caitlin should be joining us soon, but let's start with... We're going to go into the Coronation Cup, which is going to be at Epsom on Friday, which is... let's load up the betting here from Skillbet. Here we go. We've got Al Arzi, who's odds-on favourite here with Skillbet, 11-10 on. Japan, 7-2. Morgul is 5-1. Pile Driver, 9s. Level 4 of 12s. And Highland Chief, the outsider of the... Six strong fielder at 50-1. Where do we want to start with this, Steve? Where do you want to start with it? Oh, hang on, Steve. Just before we start, she's timed it perfectly, I think. Caitlin.
Hello.
How are we doing?
Good. How are you guys?
Yeah, good. Are we drinking? Oh, no, you won't be drinking. It's probably work time for yourself.
It is. I'm still at work.
We're looking forward to your Belmont picks this weekend. Well, what do you really fancy for this Belmont Stakes? It looks like a really, really top race with only the eight runners, though. We've got Essential Quality, you know, who was best in the Kentucky. He was probably the best in the Kentucky Derby for me, if you take into how much the trip he conceded in consideration. You've also got Ron Bauer, who was brilliant in the Preakness. Where do you go with this one, Caitlin?
This is a very tough running of the Belmont. Really, really deep, even though there is only eight runners. There's probably about six or seven horses that can win this race, maybe even all eight of them, if you count the Japanese runner, who really did come over for the Belmont versus the Belmont and the Preakness. The Belmont's the one they really, really want to win. But I think I'm going to lean on the Pletcher horse, Known Agenda, training really, really well. And Pletcher really primes horses for the Belmont. And he's big on running in the Derby and skipping the Belmont. And Known Agenda ran a pretty sneaky race. I think he finished seventh or eighth, but he was also wide, like Essential Quality. essential qualities bred specifically for this race. Tappets have a history of winning the Belmont. So those are going to be my top two choices. I did go with Ron Bauer in the Preakness, but I think it's a little bit quickly to wheel him back based off his running style. Another horse that you're really going to watch out for is Rock Your World. He's going to be the lone speed, and it is difficult to go a mile and a half with lone speed, but anything can happen, and speed usually does carry at Belmont.
Yeah, Non Agenda really got the short straw, didn't he, with the draw when it comes to the Derby?
Mm-hmm. He really did. Yeah,
he was assigned the lowest post, and with his running style, it's always going to be tricky for him to work out over that trip, isn't it?
Yeah, it was definitely more tricky for him in the Derby. I think that you can kind of throw that race out and maybe give him a second look in here. Plus, you're going to get a pretty fair price on him. I'd say you'll get as high as maybe 8-1. Anywhere from 5-8-1 is probably where he'll come in at.
Well, over here, the betted is Essential Qualities at 2-1, Ron Bauer at 7-2, Hot Rod Charlie at 4-1, Rock Your World at 6-1, all the way down to France Go Deina at 33-1. Isn't that the Japanese horse, Caitlin?
That is the Japanese runner. They brought him over to run in the Preakness and the Belmont, but there is a $1 million bonus if he wins the Belmont. Going back with the Japanese racing industry, they do the $1 million bonus if he wins the Belmont. There was no incentive if he won the Preakness other than, of course, you know, getting the winning purse for that, but there is the $1 million bonus if he wins the Belmont. So the Preakness was pretty much a prep for the Belmont, and the other newcomer, Overtook, he's been training really, really well also. So, honestly, all eight horses are going to be flat to the boards to win this race. So, I can see any of the eight horses winning.
Yeah, I remember Brad Cox, he thought of Essential Quality as his, you know, inverted commas, Belmont horse ever since he had his first breeze up. So, it would be Essential Quality for me after that really poor trip I felt at Kentucky. What did you say yours would be? You're going to side with Ron Bauer? Agenda?
I think I'm going to side with Non Agenda. It's kind of hard for me not to stick with Ron Bauer, but I think wheeling Ron Bauer back in 3 weeks after that performance in the Preakness is a little quick. I wouldn't be surprised if he did win the Belmont, but I'm going to stick with Non Agenda.
And what about over the next 3 days at Belmont anyway? Is there anything else that takes your fancy, Caitlin?
Oh my goodness, this is a superb card. It's Breeders' Cup quality. Everybody brings their horses for this meet. Lots going on. I have two prices that I really like in the Grade 1 Longines Just a Game. Daddy is a Legend is 30-1 morning line, and Always Shopping is 12-1 morning line. So those are two really big prices in a wide open race that you definitely want to include on your tickets. Nick's Go is going to be tough to beat in the Met Mile. In the Manhattan is another wide open race. I like Gaffo in there. So lots of really, really good racing. They've got really good races today and tomorrow at Belmont. So just a superb card. Lots going on Saturday, including the Epsom Derby. Super exciting.
Yeah. Have you got a selection for that?
I really want to stick with Bolshoi Ballet. I want to see what he can do. I think he's a really good horse.
Just rewinding a little bit, though. Did you say Gaffo was running this weekend? Is that a previous Roger Berrien horse from over here?
I'm not sure. He's a U.S.
No,
friend.
No, sorry. Before he's R.I.P.
He's no longer with us.
I've forgotten about that. Yeah. Yeah. R.I.P. I'm very sorry about that.
No problem. I was like, I don't think so, but I guess I could be wrong. I know Charlie Appleby has a few in this weekend.
Oh, very nice.
Yep.
Love a good Charlie Appleby runner. Hopefully you can come back with a bit of sack of some dollars. Bringing it back to the UK.
He doesn't
just like you Irish always
do.
No, exactly. Yeah, well, thanks very much for joining us, Caitlin. You've got a busy night ahead of you, haven't you?
Yes, I've got a few more to go on. Definitely talking about lots of Belmont stuff and, of course, all of the happenings this week with Baffert and Medina Spirit. So lots going on.
What's your thoughts surrounding that?
I think you definitely have to be tough. Too many mistakes have been made. Clearly, a sloppy barn is being run. Whether something illegal is being done or not, the limits are being pushed. The rules were broken. So, unfortunately, there has to be a type of punishment, and the Derby does have to be taken away. So, we'll see what steps they can go to with that. But look for Mandaloon to be the Derby winner here in a few weeks.
Excellent. Right. Well, thanks very much, Caitlin. As always, hope you join us for the next leg.
Absolutely. I will be here.
Excellent. Thanks very much, Caitlin. Take it easy. Have a nice weekend.
You're welcome.
And hopefully no agenda romps in for yourself.
Would love it.
Would love it. Thanks very much. Take it easy.
Cheers. Good luck. Bye-bye.
See ya.
Thanks very much, Caitlin. That was Caitlin Free there. Thanks for her thoughts on the Belmont Stakes. Let's go back to you, Stephen. We're going to start talking about Epsom now. Let's go to the Coronation Cup. Al Azizi is a very short price favourite here. One you want to take on, Stephen? Stephen's muted.
Ah, Steve. Come on.
Apologies. Sorry, I'm muted. Al Azizi. I do want to take it on because of the price, but I do still see it. I think it's a worthy favourite, if you know what I mean. I know the boys want to take it on. They've got their various reasons, but 11 to 10 is far too short for what he's actually done on the course. Japan and Mogul, Pinky and Perky, they owe me fortunes, these two horses. Every time I've gone with Mogul, he's got beat. When I've gone against him, he's looked like a world beater. Japan, I went out on a limb with him last year. I just can't trust either of them. Japan had a nice introduction to the year at Chester. I'm sort of, part of me hopes that he has a good year, you know, like it was a nice win. He was down in grade, he was entitled to win it. He was 7-4, back up in grade. He was third in a derby, so the track's gonna be no problem. I just can't fancy him because of how many times he's let me down. But the one I like, Chris, is Pile Driver. He won last year's Ascot Derby, the King Edward VII, I think it's called, in a race at Mogul, made his seasonal reappearance. He wasn't really fancied that day, but he won really well. Nothing sort of went right from in the Derby, and he then came out and absolutely bolted up in the Great Voltage at York, which is probably his best run. As for the Ledger, I'm not sure he was an understeer. I think he got there far too early. He ran on again late on, but with a bit more patience, he could well have gone a bit closer. The one that's interesting is Alba Flora. This thing bolted up at Ascot. I'm just wondering whether soft ground is the key to this one. It'd be interesting if there's any rain on the course tomorrow, whether that she might come in with Frankie on balls. You know, 12-1 seems like a big price, but Pole Driver for me, Chris. You know, I think the favourite will be in the mix with it. I just can't back the two Cornwall horses.
Probably wasn't at his peak first time out, but I know that William Muir was quite delighted with that comeback. Let's hope he can keep him going throughout the season. I think he's got an outsider's chance tomorrow, Steve. Let's go to Andy next, because Andy, you've got a bit of a bold statement here, haven't you, buddy?
Yeah, I'm going to lay the favour for a place. If you're getting two places on Betfair, I'll happily lay to a few quid. I just think this is easily the toughest task Al Azizi has faced in his young career, and obviously being by Sea to Stars, and he's a 4-year-old now, and he's clearly came on with age and a bit of experience. He's won two Group Threes at Newbury, won them doing handstands. Now, I'm just a bit worried that, like, you know, Thunderous hasn't really set the world alight. Logician has, I don't know what happened to him with his injury, he just hasn't looked the same horse. He won a match race and has been very poor in two runs since. He didn't beat an awful lot. He kind of beat a set of handicappers essentially on a seasonal reappearance, and of course you can only beat what's in front of you. But he's coming up against Japan, who's won Group Ones, Mogul's won Group Ones, Pile Driver dual Group Two winner, even Alba Flora. She was very impressive at Ascot, and she beat Tribal Craft, hammered her, and she subsequently won at York, so that form's really good as well. I think he has a lot on, and the main reason I'm laying him for a place though is his one bad run of his career came at Goodwood in the Gordon Stakes, and you can see in that after race comments he lugs right turning into the home turn, so he gets caught out by the camber. Now if he's not able to stay balanced at Goodwood, maybe because he's leaning left it mightn't happen, but if he's unbalanced at Goodwood, I'm pretty sure he's going to be unbalanced at Epsom. And if he's unbalanced at Epsom, he hasn't a prayer. And he won't even be placed. He'll be last. He'll be sixth. So that's why I'm going to lay him for a place. I'm going to back Japan. I'm going to give him another chance. He was poor last season after his run in the Eclipse. But if you look at the RPRs, it was a standout 1-2-3 he got in the Eclipse. It was 115 for a seasonal reappearance in the Prince of Wales by Lord North. And his form just completely petered out. His RPRs dropped to as low as 110, 112. He didn't get within a stone, really, of that run at Sandown. And that kind of tells you that maybe Sandown left its mark on him. You can argue that Enable wasn't really the same. I know she won a King George, but a three-runner King George beating Sovereign and Japan in two horses who were just completely away at the sea last year. So I just think that that Sandown race maybe left a serious mark in Japan. He didn't really, you know, he beat Trushan at Chester. Okay, he has to improve a lot on that. But his RPR that day of 115 matches what he did against Lord North at Ascot on a seasonal reappearance last year. So I'm assuming he's going to come forward, and I think he's going to be really, really hard to beat here. Mogul, I think out of the two, I think Mogul can't be trusted the least. He's either a world beater or he just doesn't want to know. And Pile Driver's run at Epsom puts me a little bit off. I know it was an absolute mess of a race, but he just didn't seem at home. Maybe he was just beat a long, long way out. He could definitely be the fly in the ointment. Alba Flora, fair play to Connections. I think she's a great chance of being placed as well. And then obviously there's the Paul and Oliver Cole horse. Someone help me out here. Someone bail me out.
Violent
Chief, yes. Obviously, I can't even remember the horse's name. That's how much I'm disrespecting him. So, look, he's probably here to pick up a bit of prize money. He could go well. He's good over 12 furlongs, but he'd have to improve quite a bit. But for me, it'd be Japan. But most so, I'm laying the favourite for a place.
This is something you echo too, isn't it, Dec?
Yeah, I fully agree. I hadn't looked into the run at Goodwood, but I suppose that boosts my confidence a little bit. Thanks, Andy. I just think he's overhyped, really. I think that day, the last day he won at Newbury, didn't they all sort of scoot away? The ground was a bit dead. It was, you know, I think there was some false winning distances that day. And, you know, he's coming up against, you know, as Andy said, the Mitchell brothers here, who are the folk group one winners. Like, you know, now, I think Japan has gone at the game. I don't think he likes racing anymore, and you know, he ran sort of well in races, and then when they got down to racing last season, he just didn't want to know, and we don't think he wants to be on the racetrack. Now look, he did come out and win the last day at Chester of a 1.6, but you know, even horses won group ones like he has should have even been winning that race, even though he's not interested anymore, and I couldn't have any confidence in him. I'd rather take me gamble with Grant Mitchell, Mogul. I think
not Phil Mitchell then.
No, not Phil Mitchell. Phil Mitchell's gone at the game. He's
crying. He's scruffy. You know? What about Peggy Mitchell? What about Peggy Mitchell?
She's in the barn again. Mogul. You know, he's going to get his ground here. He's a Galileo. You know, I think he's going to enjoy this. I think this is the test he wants. This is the race he wants, and there's not too much to beat. You know, the favourite is way shorter than he should be. Pile Driver, Steve said he wouldn't put him down as a non-stayer, but he was definitely outstayed in the leisure. You know, he was better. He was definitely outstayed by stronger stayers. But I think he really does like this trip. And you look at his form against Thunderous. You know, he's beaten Thunderous by two lengths this season. And that puts him, you know, way over.
Way up there.
You know, Alazi, like, you know, Alazi's just a hype machine. And he definitely worth taking on here. I think it's a ludicrous price. You want to be on drugs to be, you know. You want to be able
he's
to...
He's got the shortest turnaround, hasn't he? He only raced 20 days ago.
Yeah, I didn't know it was the shortest turnaround, but yeah, I just think it's ridiculous. What was it, a group three last day? What was the first race at Newbury this season? Was that a group three as well?
Yeah.
Even that run the last day, I can't take it at face value, you know.
Visually impressive, but
yeah, you know. You delve into it. You know, and you look at the rest of the car, and you look at the ground, and like, you know, it's he's definitely worth taking on here. I think Highland Chief will he could be overpriced. Like, he's finished in the mix for a couple of days. He's beaten Mogul. He's been beaten by Mogul. He hasn't been too far off Pile Driver. And Steele's probably giving us 100-1, is he?
He's giving us 50s, sorry.
50s, yeah. Look, you know, if you're that way inclined, that might be worth an each way bet. I definitely think Al-Azi, Japan are worth taking on. I think if Mogul hasn't been out on the batter all week, he turns up and he wins this. So I think he's ready for this trip. But that's the gamble, and I'm prepared to take that gamble. I think he's a good price. He's a top-class horse, full of ability. It's probably going to be Pile Driver to follow him home. But I wouldn't put anyone off having a couple of each way in Highland Chief.
Thanks very much, Deck. Highland Chief, then, each way for Declan. Andrew?
No, Mogul. Mogul to win the race.
Yeah, I thought you'd go for the outsider there. Mogul for Deck?
I'll go for his brother, Japan.
You're going for his brother, Phil. So we're for Phil and
Pile Driver.
Have I just lost it there? Phil and who, Mitchell? Grant. What was his name?
Grant.
Yeah. That was it, Phil and Grant Mitchell. And Pile Driver for Steve. God, I had a mind blank there. I completely lost my train of thought. Right, let's move on to the Oaks, which is looking tasty this year, isn't it, boys? Let's look at the betting. We've got Santa Barbara here at 5-2 with Skillbet. Don't forget, if you're going to sign up with Skillbet, use that code USOBET10 and get yourself a £10 free bet when you use our code to sign up. Santa Barbara 5-2, Zayada at 11-2, Teona 6-1, Snowfall at 6s, Dubai Fountain at 10-1 and 12-1 bar those. Where do we want to start with this one, Andrew?
Oh, this is inconclusive is the word I'd use to describe the Oaks this year. Everything kind of has a chance because all the trial races have really been falsely run affairs. Snowfall kind of, like Roy Moore nicked the Musidora on Snowfall. Holly Doyle nicked the Lingfield trial on Sherbert Lemon. And Franny Norton was quite innovative to win the Cheshire Oats. You could make an argument that maybe outside of Snowfall, she won it by so far. If the race was run anyway, she would have won. But you could maybe make the argument that the best horse didn't win the trial. And without a shadow of a doubt, the most reliable trial run for the Oaks would have been the 1,000 Guineas, with Saffron Beach finishing second and Santa Barbara finishing fourth. But I don't think either of them will stay this trip, personally. I think Saffron Beach probably wants 10 furlongs. I know Nube was a good horse over a mile and a half. I think he won a pre-fall. Santa Barbara, like, she's by Camelot out of a day in Hill Mary. You'd think she'd get 12 furlongs in her sleep, but you'd look at her siblings, Iridessa, Order of Australia, both middle distance sires, but both of those horses excelling over a mile and good over 10 furlongs. Like, she doesn't lack speed, and she was fourth in the Guineas, and I just think that maybe the mile and a half at this stage in her career may not be what she wants. So with that said, I'm looking really inconclusive. Zayada was probably unlucky not to win the Cheshire Oaks, but she's got the coffin stall one, so she'd have to really overcome that. I would take a chance on Divinely, personally. I think she came to win the Lingfield Oaks trial and she just petered out late. She had to really make her run a lot earlier than Sherbert Lemon and Save the Forest, who did finish ahead of her. But she was probably in front a furlong out, but she ran a race kind of between the 3 pole and the 1 pole where Holly Doyle was able to dictate off a very sedate gallop. And she's a sister to Found. So I think a truly run mile and a half would be kind of what she wants. Outside of that, so she's 14-1. There was a bit of money for her earlier in the week. I think she'll go off bigger than that. I think she'll drift back out, personally. Outside of that, it's just really hard because all of these horses are so unexposed, and they're either having their first shot at a mile and a half, or they've kind of been running in falsely run races. It's really, really hard to go at. I think Laja Khan as well, if she gets out in front of William Buick, they wouldn't want to give her too much rope. I'd say she's in for the pace. Nothing else really tempts me, though, to be honest, Chris. So it would be a tentative bet on Divinely, but I'd just be staring clear at me because she's using this race as reference going to the future.
Chris. Why have I muted myself? Thanks very much, Andrew. Yeah, 14-1 for Divinely there. James Cook's written here. Do you guys think that Saffron Beach, if she were obviously trained by a bigger trainer, she'd be half this price, Steve?
Yeah, it's a fair point. Yeah, definitely. She's beaten Santa Barbara already, isn't she? But more experience under her belt. But yeah, it's a fair point. Yeah.
What's your take on this race, Steve?
It could be anything, couldn't it? You've got 7 or 8 horses here under 10 to 1. It's just, it's a nightmare, isn't it? It's trying to work out. Like Andy said about Snowfall in the Musidora, I'm not visually so impressive. I'm not sure what to make of it. The race, it was the first 6 furlongs were an absolute crawl. I thought Tiona was the horse that was all the hype before the race. It bolted up in a Newcastle maiden on the sand. So it came with a lot of hype. I think it's the way she finished the race quite well, considering she shouldn't have had any juice left in the tank. So the fact she's still quite strong in the market makes me feel like she's well fancied. Zayada was second behind Jabai Fanny. Jabai Fanny got the run of the race. She nicked 6 or 7 lengths around the bend, and then it was like game over. But I could see Zayada reversing the form of that. The only thing with that, drawn one, which is a bit of a no-no, isn't it? I'm sort of coming down to the favourite, Chris. I don't like backing him, but if you look through the years,
what you were Andy Poulsen favourites last week? I don't like backing
them. Have you got any runners this week? I do like Zayada, but the draws really putting me off. I think Santa Barbara, if you go back through the years when Aiden's won it, Love come from the Guineas, Minding come from the Guineas. They both had a lot more experience, and I still think she ran a good race, even though she went there with a lot of hype. And I think she'll improve for the trip. There's still, like Andy said, there's a good chance she may not get the last furlong, but just trying to think of Together Forever came from Chester. Imagine come from an Irish Guineas win. So there's plenty of winners coming from a mile from that stable. I just think 11-4, she's been shorter. I think because Snowfall's there with Frankie and Ryan Moore doesn't like riding classic winners for them. I think
doesn't like it, does it?
Does he not?
That's probably the reason why she's 11-4. They might come for her in a day. She could be anything, couldn't she? But I think Dubai Fanny will lead. We'll set it up. Close. It won't be the slow pace like it was at York or at Lingfield. Mm. Fern and Garth in true Johnson fashion. Chris, I think you can get anything win out of the top 4 or 5 in the bench, but I do think I'm going to go with Santa Barbara.
I probably think that Lajacon will probably lead them. Dubai Fern doesn't necessarily have to lead. She didn't do it at Chester anyway, let's put it that way.
She hit a flat spot, didn't she? She went 3 or 4 and running about 4 or 5 out, but when she got to the front, he gave her a kick in the belly and she nicked it round the bend. But
yeah, they're sticking a hood on Tiona, which will be quite interesting. Yeah, the hood goes on Tiona for the first time, which will be quite interesting, I think, because she really did look like a nice filly when she bolted up, didn't she? But obviously... She was put in a place by Snowfall last time. Andy, what's your thoughts about Divinely? Does she need? Is she going to be held up, or would she be close to the paces?
She'll be held up for sure. I think La Gioconda will lead them. And the reason I think that William Buick was booked to ride her on the van last year, and he was up in the van, not quite Serpentine's level. But another thing as well with just La Gioconda, she ran in a mile listed race at the Curra. It was her best run of her career behind Fantasy Lady. It was last October. She led that day, and that was by far her best run. And so I'd be surprised if she didn't lead. And she's a sister to Santiago as well, so she'll stay. Or half sister to Santiago, so she'll stay well.
Declan, where are you going for this one, lad? Sherbet Lemon, maybe?
No. No, no.
I tried.
Nah. I'm swaying towards Saffron Beach. And I know she's going into the unknown here. And that's the gamble. That's why she's the price she is. Because, you know, if she was sure to get the trip, she'd be the favourite. She stayed the mile really, really well in the Guineas. Like, she was staying on She's plenty of tall, but she is going into the unknown, and that's the gamble. And I'm going to roll the dice that she does get the trip, because I just don't think you'd be getting that price if she was sure to get the trip.
Hope Adam Kirby bags a winner.
Right.
But nice to see Adam Kirby bag a winner.
Yeah, so you're all playing the violin for him because he got well, the
people were earlier in the week, weren't they?
That's racing, isn't it? Just to go through the field, like the lads have covered it a lot. Like Santa Barbara, she was outdated, I thought, in the guineas. Now, she was very, very inexperienced. And she was, you know, she ran a bit green, but, you know, for the favourite, it's you know, you want big Leah Rowdies to be backing her confidently, wouldn't you? You know, yeah. It wouldn't be for me. Snowfall got to dictate the race at York, and this will definitely be different, but she does have every chance, you know, you can't deny that. Layada, she was staying on at Chester. I did really like that run. And she was given £3 away to the Boy Fountain. And I think they'll reverse the form. I think she'll reverse the form this time. Steve mentioned Tiona, like she did run her race early in York. She got a bit upset in the stalls. The hood's gone on. If she does settle, I think she'd be definitely close to the Snowfall anyway. Like and considering the way the race went, the way she started, that was a big, big run at York. You know, and you could probably mark that up a little bit. I know Andy likes Divinely, but I think the one to take out of that Lingfield race is probably Ocean Road. She used up a lot more petrol than the others, and she was still staying on at the end. And if I was going to pick one, I don't really fancy either of the four from that race. But if I was going to pick one, it'd be Ocean Road. The others, I'm not sure if they'd get home. But yeah, look, I'm a big gamble, and that's why you're getting the price. But Saffron Beach, I just think that she hit the line well in the guineas. And because of that, I'm happy to take the gamble. And maybe the market has it right and she's not going to get the trip. But if she does, she's going to get off the race.
I forget about it if she does.
Let us know in the comments, guys, what your selections are for the Yorks. We'll put some up on screen. Just a few others, maybe, just to gently touch on, if you don't mind, boys. We haven't really spoke about Save a Forest. Any thoughts about Save a Forest?
Yeah, she gets beat by Ocean Dream this time, or whatever it's called.
She came from a long way back, didn't she? She came from a similar way back against Divinely. Now, she did have the benefit of a run, or a couple runs this season. She was running through the winter. So maybe, like, I'm not saying she's showing her hand a bit more, but like Divinely and Sherbert Lemon were either less experienced or having their first run of the season. Maybe Save a Forest, like she ran, like she looked like she was a fit filly that day, you know. So I would just have that in the back of my head.
Divinely's a Galileo as well, is she?
Sister to Found, yeah.
Interesting. What, just on the last Aidan O'Brien runner that we've not really talked about, Willow.
I just don't think she gets a trip.
I think she's no chance.
Yeah.
I think she's harshly rated as well. Like, she didn't achieve a lot of two. I know she ran okay. She won a maiden, didn't work out. She's been kind of caught out in better races since. She could be another one to go forward, maybe, but I'd even have her reservations about the trip as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, get on, yeah, that's it. just again, right, with Saffron Beach, just the last thing, just the reason I don't think she would stay, the dam is actually related to the dam, the other, like the mother of Saffron Beach is related to the mother of Kotoi Glory. It's a very much a sprinting pedigree on that side of the family. So I think
the mother been running though, are they?
No, but they're responsible. for we usually want to go through them. Now, but, she relaxes, she might, but
I tell you who's irresponsible. The Mitchell Peggy. Letting Japan and Mogul run around everywhere in the streets.
Do what they want.
What horse would you say is Peggy Mitchell? And
what is her name, actually? Who? What?
Shattered Love.
Oh, Shattered Love.
You don't like the Shattered Love. She's the
elder. Shattered to everyone at the show. Tell the market. She's bagging everyone. What is the name of the dam of the pair of boys?
Shiast or something, isn't it?
Oh dear, says it all, doesn't it?
I'm pretty sure it's Shiast. John Gosden trainer.
Yeah.
When he came from Oliver.
Yeah.
Look, she's been some money spinner. She was Secret Gesture as well as part of the family. Sir Isaac Newton, I think, trade 3.6 million guineas. Ridiculous, like crazy money that she, some money spinner she was.
From one of the Jersey Stakes.
was it at the Hampton Court?
No, it was Dutch Connection in the Jersey Stakes.
Oh, okay.
Right, we're going to move on to Saturday now, boys, and it's the first race we're going to cover. Four races that we're going to cover from Epsom on Saturday. This one looks wide open, really, the Princess Elizabeth Stakes. Memora is 100-30 with skill bet. Statement at 4-1, Posted 4-1, Nazuna at 9-2, Ilicato at 7s, and 15-2, Bardos. All the way down to Queen Kalua at 40-1. Declan, you're going to take up the mantle with this one. Just what you want, mate. Just what you want.
You're stitching me up here.
Someone had to start on it.
Yeah.
And it had to be Declan.
Look, she's been well travelled. She's been to Sweden and been beaten and everything. She's been to Maidan. Look, she won a decent enough race last August, and she's definitely going to need to produce that, I think. Nazuna was second to Isabella Giles at Newmarket. I think she's going to appreciate the mile. And the form is not stacking up because everyone thinks that Isabella Giles wants to go back and trip, even though, you know, she wants that mile and she may want a little bit more. She might be annoying for a long horse. You know, so she could be a bit of value here stepping up in to the A furlongs. Posted, sorry, you know, a poor seasonal debut when he's held on the Sandown run. Statement ran like a non-stayer in the guineas, although the drop in class could really bring Statement into the race. May get the mile at this level, but didn't look like she was getting there at group one level in the guineas. Ilicato got the mile well at Goodwood. She said on well to win on the line. But she was well beaten, the Fred Darling. I know that's over seven. The one I like is, and I've mentioned her a few weeks ago, when you all forgot to turn up, is Perdon's Prayer. Do you remember that week? Because I forgot to turn up.
I had a great week that day.
I like the Colgies in the 1916 Rising. Perdon's Prayer. She's been to Ireland a bit, and she's won at Naas, you know. And winning at Naas could go a long way to handling this track. I think she's better over the mile, and Opponent Play won at the Curragh recently, and I think that's decent form. I did fancy her for the race at Lingfield. I think it was Lingfield that the German horse won.
Yeah, it was a Chatwell. Yeah, Xana won it.
You know, but I think she'd be better over the mile, and I think she'll handle Epsom. You know, if you're going around Garen, and I know Garen's right-handed, and you're going around Naas, I think you're definitely, you know, you're going to become accustomed to those sort of tracks, and she'll definitely handle Epsom. I do think Queen Kahula, she may not have as much to find as the betting suggests, and that could be a sneaky each-way play. I won't be not going to put enough forecast or anything, but what sort of price do you got from Stu?
66-1 with Stu.
66s, yeah. Look, throw a couple of euro at that each way. I probably will do that. It still gives me 80s. I'll give him a call after this, and he probably will give me the 80s. I'd definitely be trying to put euro each way at that. But I do like Perdon's Prayer, and that'd be my selection here.
Perdon's Prayer for Declan. Stephen.
Where are we? I'm looking at the 3-year-olds, Chris. I get just under a stone from the rest of the field.
From their elders, yeah.
Mamara of 11-4. It's priced up basically on its one. The one good win was when it beat Bilston Brook, previous the old Guineas winner. That thing's still running to Hannah. She must be bloody 8 or 9 now, but she seems like she's been forever. And Lavender Blue was in that race. So you've got she's like Lavender Blue, Queen's Power. They all sort of tie in with each other, don't they? They've been running quite a lot against each other in the last 18 months. Lamar was 5th or 6th last time. He'd have to be a brave man to back him at 11-4. Statement running the guineas, that obviously brings classic form to the race, but just looking at the breeding, I don't know what Andy thinks. He's obviously he's a breeding man more than me, but getting him off just over a mile.
Do you know
where
they're riding, Andy?
Sorry? Do you think I'll tell you, Andy?
Statement. Oh yeah, I think she was just way too keen at Newmark, and she ran off with William Buick. I think she just needs a bit of cover, and she gets a bit of cover now.
Pedigree is just mile, isn't it, all the way through? But I like the zone a lot. Not just Deck with Santa Isabella Giles form. I still haven't. Like, I don't think I'd give up on her, even though she had a couple of disappointing runs this year. The fact she's getting a stone and is making a debut in this race as well.
She was well tried last time, wasn't she, at Keeneland?
Yeah, she ran the Breeders' Cup. The race Mother Earth was flying home in, but even going back to her first run,
you'd be forgiving Andy Dow's runs, though, wouldn't you? Like,
you always give
him. Say this, like, you'd be forgiving Andy Dow's runs on the dog tracks.
Sometimes it takes a long time to get over, so maybe this is the reason why she's making it so quite a way into the season. But even her debut as a 2-year-old, she ran behind Spirit of Bermuda. I think that one on Tuesday, bloody first or somewhere. But I think 4-1, the fact Avarian's running here, he's got a lot of runners this week, isn't he, Epsom?
Yeah.
The weight allowance, I fancy her, Chris. It's not a race to get too involved in for me, but Nazuna would be the one.
Thanks very much, Steve. Andy?
It's not the easiest race to kind of assess. I kind of came down on either Statement or Posted. I was a little bit disappointed by Posted's season of reappearance initially at Newmarket, but when you look through it, like Lady Beaufort was placed in the Lockinge, Queen Power was impressive at York, Lavender's Blue held her form pretty well. She pretty much ran a race. Now she did peter out, but she was like almost out of control that day at Newmarket. She was mounted quite late. I think she was mounted out on the track. And she almost ran off of William Buick again. Actually, he had a nightmare that day. All down to the start. And then she ran similar in the race. She was just way too fresh. And if she's not as fresh here, if that race has kind of taken that out of her, she was beaten 7 lengths, but I think it was still a pretty good run in the circumstances, because she was just, like, she could have even ran a race before she even, you know, jumped out of the stalls. So I think she'd be pretty tough to pass. Statement, again, very, very keen in the guineas. I'd have absolutely no issues with her getting the mile. She was just, like, she was closing alcohol-free all the way to the line in the Fred Darling at Newbury. She was beating a short head just in the photo, alcohol-free, just held on. She was just way too keen. They kind of tried to make the running with her, and she clearly needs a bit of cover. So she's another one that you'd want to just kind of hold on to. So something's going to have to take them along here to give Post or Statement the best chance. They're well ahead on the figures. Maybe Mamora deserves a shout as well. I wasn't too impressed with her at Goodwood. She wasn't beaten that far, but I think she should have been winning. Maybe the ground was a bit quick. She is, as you lad said, she is probably rated on her victory over Billiston Brook at Sandown. So you take her out and you kind of have these two well clear, 108 and then 106 respectively. The fact that Statement is probably still progressing and is getting the weight for age allowance, if she progresses the way I think she is, she's going to be very hard to beat here. So I'd be tough between Posted and Statement, but I would just have a slight preference for the 3-year-old Statement here.
Any opinion on Illicator? In the Conqueror at Goodwood, she really finished well. Like, couldn't get a run for a while, and then got the inside gap and just went for it, and was probably going to... He won by a short nose, but you could probably say, looking at that evidence, it was the first time trying the mile. Horse gets the mile. This mile and a half could suit really down to the bone at Epsom, because you're going to be staying on down the Canberra from...
It's an easy enough mile though at Goodwood, isn't it?
Yeah.
Epsom isn't the hardest. I suppose Epsom isn't the hardest. Well, it is.
The track is more difficult than... Look, she got it well. There's no doubt about that. She just got up there on the line, didn't she, after getting the run?
Yeah, she's going to have to improve again, obviously.
quite a lot.
Well, she's definitely not without a chance.
She's getting away allowance as well, though, isn't she? So,
yeah, if the trail runs are decent, she'd have a great chance. Like, she'd probably follow statement home. I still think, like, you can't really call the collateral formers. I think Ali Cato, did she run in the Cheveley Park?
She ran the Fred Darling.
Yeah, Fred Darling. She was well beaten.
As a 2-year-old, Group 1,
she ran the Cheveley Park back in the last year,
Right, okay. So I thought she might have. So, like, she was beaten a long way by Alcohol Free. Statement got to within a short head of her. Now, I know it's one's over six, one's over seven. One's a 2-year-old race, one's a 3-year-old race. So you can't call it absolutely collateral form. But Statement did get close to Alcohol Free, but in much different circumstances, I suppose. So maybe that's just all bollocks. But, you know, it is. It's a long way. You can't really talk and shout,
Summarise then. Andy, your selection is?
Statement.
Statement, Declan?
Paradise Prayer.
And Stephen?
I got from the Zuna out of three-year-olds.
Excellent. Thanks very much. Steak, let's go on to the Diomed Stakes now. Diomed is another... Oh, wrong race. What am I doing? Is another quite difficult race, isn't it, really? Although, I think we might, hopefully, I don't know about Stephen on this, but it could be a four-clean sweep here, couldn't it, boys? Hopefully. Let's start with Stephen, then we'll boom if he doesn't go with
now stays down here.
Right, so let's hope so.
Anyway.
3-10 the Diamond, here we go. It's got a Century Deem is at 11-4 maximal, 100-30 Bell Rock, 11-2 Prince Age at 6-1 Duke of Hazard, 8 Marie's Diamond at 9s, and All This Is Us, Escobar and Flawless are 12-1 bar those. Flawless is actually now 66-1. Stephen,
this is Steve special, has to be.
You've got to bring it, Steve. If he goes for it with cheer, if he doesn't, we boo.
I don't fancy Century Dream at all. I think Maxi Mal's a good thing.
Yay!
All right,
well done, Stephen.
Century Dream is green, though. He likes
green. Century Dream needs it soft. He's a 7-year-old now. Well, I think he won this race in 17 or 18. Beating Gabriel, that's how old he is. Prince Aligi, he was beaten by Oh This Is Us last time. I don't see why he's half the price. SR, you probably won't see the best of him until the Balmoral back end of the year. Marie's Diamonds will lead. Very good form last year in some of the top mile races, but Maximal brings that Dante form to the party, doesn't he? Second behind Hurricane Lane.
Yeah.
I believe.
It was unlucky at Chester too.
He ran that really hot maiden as a 2-year-old, which we thought was hot at the time when he was beaten by the John Gosnells called Guru.
Mm. Yeah.
After a couple of months, the race looked absolute dog shit. It was like nothing had won out of the race, but he's come back well this year. I didn't fancy him at Chester at all. And I thought he was bullied out of it in Newbury as well, but the Chester run was a much, much improved. I think 3-1's a great price.
Yeah.
Joseph Hazard, he has one good run here. He's like Bell Rock. Bell Rock will probably wait till the end of the season at Newmarket. He's already won, in fact. Chooks of Hazard, he's run well at Ascot in the past. Not for me. I think Maxwell's a good bet.
Thank you very much, Steve.
It actually reminds me, just looking at the colours of Stat, this is the race where Richard Hughes famously lost his job. He rode a horse called Home Affairs for Stat in this. He made a complete horlicks of it, and if you read his book, he sort of says that was the end of the end for him. You know, he came in and Stout wouldn't even speak to him. He just give him a look, and that was it. And he met Teddy Grimthorpe the following down the service station, and he got his notice.
On a service station, how bad's that?
Yeah,
that's really bad.
It's in Hughes' book. It's a really good read. Yeah,
we'll have to pick that up. Declan, you're a Maximal fan as well.
Oh, yeah, I am, yeah. Like, he was second in the D Stakes. Steve probably said all this, so it was in the Jack Stakes. He's second in the D Stakes, and that form was Frank Boyerswood at the Curragh recently. You know, he wasn't far behind Hurricane Lane at Newbury, and I'd forgive the run in the Autumn Stakes at Newmarket, and I think Hurricane Lane is a high-class horse. I just think he's a standout here. Like, I know Century Dream, he's ran in Group 1s, you know, he's been highly tried. And look, he probably deserves his place up near the top of the market anyway. But the rest of them, I don't know. It's one of, it's nearly like a 7 furlong race, isn't it? It's one of those where a lot of days get their go. The only one I'd give a mention to, I think, is probably overpriced, is Oh This Is Us. Like, he beat a few of these at Ascot when he won at 66-1, and he does go well here, and he would have a chance, but yeah, I think Maximum should be head and shoulders above all this.
Andy, another one, you also echo this?
Yeah, that was my nap of the weekend, I think.
Before it goes.
Well, there's a 30 with Gilbert.
He doesn't win enough, in fairness, Maximal. Like, but when you look at his form, he would have been labelled maybe disappointing, but anytime you peel it back, I think he's in France now, if I'm not mistaken. I'm going to actually just check that really quick. No, he's not, but we haven't seen him in a while. We haven't seen him since March. He has just been gelded. Interesting. Actually, I might put him in a notebook for handicap. Maximal, he ran behind the likes of One Ruler at Sandown, and then at Newmarket in the Autumn Stakes, in between winning a novice race. And then he bumps into Hurricane Lane at Newbury, and then he's probably unlucky not to win the D Stakes at Chester. He's coming back to a mile, which would be no problem. He is by Galileo, but he is out of Joyous, who is a sister of, or a half-sister of. Anybody?
No? Joyous, it was a start, wasn't it? Abdullah.
Yeah. Half-sister to?
Franco.
Look, there's a mile, obviously, it should be fine. Joyous was by Oasis Dream. I think she might have won a group race up at Leopardstown, actually. I think it was up there that night for a bit of history. But anyway, I think that this is a horse that's going to progress with time and age. I don't think he's done a whole lot wrong. I think any of the times he's been second, he's been beaten by a pretty good horse. All of these horses, Dex said it right, they've had their turn. Oh, This Is Us, it was great. Nice to see him win at Ascot. I'd love to own him, but I think he's flying a bit too high here. Maurice Diamond, they wouldn't want to give him an easy lead. He could nick it from the front if they're not careful. Escobar is in purgatory. He's either a high-end handicapper or just kind of floating in limbo in these sorts of races. Duke of Hazard hasn't really looked the same horse for a while now. Century Dream probably needs soft ground at this stage. Quite rare you see a seven-year-old horse. He's not a gelding. That's actually quite interesting. And Bell Rock with his cheek pieces. One last time out. He's well worth a go at this level, but he would have to improve again. He's the horse that I think could follow Maximal home. But if Maximal is progressing the way Sir Michael Stout thinks he is, and they're dropping him back to a mile, which is obviously deliberate.
Thanks very much, Andy. Yeah, I thought El Drama's going to run the pre-de Jockey Club this weekend. You'll probably want to talk about that at the end, won't you, because of the church that's running in that race.
Absolutely.
So, I don't know where Declan's gone. He's disappeared, and I don't know where he's coming back or not. But, Stephen, Maximal for you?
Yeah, definitely.
It's a Steve special.
He was the one. We cheered him anyway. Well done, Steve. Well done. You could just read our mind. Yeah, and Andy, Maximal?
Nap.
Nap material, yes. Right, well, let's move on to the next one, boys. We are going to the dash. The 5 furlong dash.
This is why Deck left.
It only comes around once a year and it's gone within under 1 minute. Here we go. Stone of Destiny is the 8-1 favourite. Cut treat try favourite with Copper Knight and Only Spoofing at 8-1 as well. Sunday Sovereign at 17-2. Recommission Ornate, Lord Ridderford all at 11s, Yamu at 12s, Caspian Prince at 12s. And Mondemage at 12-1-2. This is going to be fast and furious, isn't it, boys? Ornate last time was running 2019, led him from pillar to post, and Ornate is bidding to do it again. He's around 14-1 shot. Stephen, do you want me to come to you second?
Go, Andy. He's clucking it.
Go to Andy. He wants this. Yeah, Andy wants it. Go, Andy.
I was actually panicking because I lobbied for this race. I only did because I just love kind of expeditions. Like, I love the Shergar Cup. I know that's kind of, I know I'm going to get heat for that. I love the Shergar Cup. I love this idea of the Racing League that's coming in July. I love these kind of exhibitions, and I'd almost classify the Dash as an exhibition. It's just nonsense. It's 20 runners downhill, 5 furlongs. You just throw logic out the window, and it's just one of my favorite races to watch.
It's very interesting though, isn't it, Andy? Because, you know, I always find it strange because the camber at Epsom, it dips from the, you know, closest to the stands where it's quite high down to the inside where it's quite low. But you often find that, you know, horses drawn low can do well in this coming up the camber.
They can. I think the ground needs to be exceptionally quick for low drawn horses to do well. But it looks like Epsom has avoided the bad weather forecast, which was kind of projected at the start of the week. So low drawn horses might have a better chance. I know Duke of Firenze won it as a nipper. Like he's 5 or 6 now.
He's still going.
The 12-year-old down here off 8 stone.
Yeah, what a guy.
Sorry, Steve.
How old was he when he won it? Was he like a 4-year-old?
Oh, he's 4 or 5. He won it from stall 2.
Yeah.
Was that the day old prize won at Derby? I'm sure it was, you know.
No, I think it might have been, it could have been Camelot.
2013.
It could have been Camelot or Pormoil. Anyway.
The old prize was a long time, wasn't it?
Yeah, authorise your own back a bit there. It's a kind of a lucky dip race. You could back any of these horses and have a chance. You missed the break by a split second. The gig's up. If you drift into the middle of the track, the gig's up. If you get behind too many horses, the gig is up. So you need to have the fine balance of just go, like, basically just get out in front and just pray you stay there. Horses like Innate or Ornate just love this. The one I'm going to go with, there's no point trying to apply logic to a race like this, but the horse I'm going to go with is Sunday Sovereign. High class horse as a 2-year-old for Paddy Toomey, was kind of lost in the wilderness, lightly raced kind of since his 2-year-old is. I think Tim Easterby deserves a lot of credit. Roger Varian couldn't do a whole lot with this horse. He only actually ran once for Roger Varian, I believe. And then at Sandown, he was very badly beaten in a Sandown listed race. Tim Easterby has got him and kind of nursed him back to form. He was just mowed down late by Peddleton at York. And I think he might have just been looking for the line that day. He was just left in front and he was just a sitting duck. Very, very unlucky. I think if maybe the Sylvester D'Souza could have held on to him for a bit longer, he probably would have held on. But it was no fault of the jockey. It was just the way the race unfolded. If the race unfolds in a similar vein this time, in a race like the Epsom Dash from stall 19 up the rail, I don't think he'd be caught here. I think he could be a horse ready to go forward again. Usually 3-year-old sprinter itis is what I usually like to call it. Some of these horses when they're 3, especially if they're not a top class sprinter, they can really get lost in the wilderness. They come back as a 4-year-old stronger horse, usually gelded, and fits Sunday Sovereign's bill perfectly. And I think if he can get out here from stall 19, I think he'll run a really, really big race. And I think he's a good chance here to land the Dash.
Yeah. Thanks very much for that, Andy. Yeah, looks like all the pace is low, doesn't it? With Blue De Vega, Caspian Prince, Lord Riddiford and Ornate from 6, which will probably cause a little bit of a concertina effect with them coming up that camber.
It is the Dash, though. It's not like the pace boys. They're all going to be going like the absolute clappers. So, you know,
it's going to be going quicker than any of them, isn't it?
Yeah.
You always get one tanking up the rail and he doesn't get around, don't you? You always get one that absolutely...
Yeah, you will, yeah.
On the rail.
Yeah, there'll be one that finishes really well on the rail, and that's going to be only spoofing.
It was Duke of Firenze that came from Tatton Corner or whatever, or from the back. He actually, the one he really got up on the line, didn't he? Like, he was literally dead last about
3 years
ago. Like, it was the favourite ruler of the world, won a derby. It was 2013.
I mean, all credit to this horse. He's 12 years old and still loving his racing, isn't it? How many... I mean, I'm not going to sit here and count, but he has a lot of races. His peak RPR was 113 at his peak time. It's such a solid horse, isn't he, Duke of Firenze? It's running off 78 now at the age of 12.
How many times has Caspian Prince won this? Is it 3?
I think it is 3 times.
Really?
Yeah, 3 times.
It's definitely twice. 2 on the bounce. Mm.
Yeah, 2 on the bounce, 16, 17.
He'd be having his 112th race course start on Saturday.
He won the Hamilton sprint last year as well, didn't he? Such a reliable yardstick.
He enjoys himself. Yeah. So I'm all for it.
Yeah. So. He does. Where are you going for this one, Stephen?
I'd rather just talk about it.
Well, we don't me to be for you to have this race to be over.
Yeah. I don't like Blue de Vega, Chris. Blue de Vega, he's with the old Sprint King, Robert Cowell. God knows about the draw. He's got a couple of good runs at Epsom as well. I will probably back him. I'll probably tell Andy in, you know, if he's sweet on one, I always follow him in anyway, but I wouldn't really waste your time by trying to pick anything else out of it. But Blue de Vega was the one I looked at earlier.
Blue de Vega. Deck?
Andy says you can't deploy logic to this race, but, you know, Caspian Prince proves you can, because he's 4 from 7 at Epsom. And he's by Dylan Thomas, and Dylan Thomas is 35% at Epsom.
Oh.
So, you know.
What was Sprint Trips, is it?
What derby did Dylan Thomas run in? Yeah. No.
Well, sorry, what?
They're true stats.
Like, I mean, they're not trends. They're stats. And, you know, obviously the Dylan Thomases go well around Epsom. It is a quirky track. You know, you say you have to get Epsom to win the derby. You need to relish it to, you know, for every inch of this 5 furlongs. And look, it's probably a safe enough bet for a race. I wouldn't put too much time into. Or spend too much money on. He's definitely a safe bet. The other one, Mulcahill has won here. He's won from 2 here, or 50% here sounds much better. And he's got Lethal Force, and Lethal Force is 30% at Epsom. So, you know, we'll be dealing with the two of those.
He's the stats man. Skip it up,
I'll be doing a reverse forecast. Caspian Prince and Mulcahill.
Good luck with that. Good luck with that, Declan. I'll go for Recon Mission and only spoofing myself, both either sides of the draw. Summarise, Andy?
Sunday Sovereign. I'm happy to have him up the rail. Sol 19. Thank you very much.
Go on, Dec.
Oh, big blackboard here behind me. Caspian Prince and Mark Cattle.
And Stephen.
Blue Vega. Dylan Thomas was third behind Sir Percy. For anyone who wants to
know. In the Epsom Dash.
This lad's just gone fucking reeling in the air's Derby edition. Instead of the Epsom Dash.
Fantastic.
The English viewers won't get what reeling in the air's is, actually.
they
can guess.
Anyway, here's the big question of the night. Tommy Cummins is here.
Oh, yes.
The big question this weekend, lads, is who finished second? Oh. Who finishes second to Bolshoi Ballywell?
It's far too obvious. Something different's going to happen, isn't it? It's far too obvious.
Oh, Tommy, we're going to move on to that race now. We're going to sort this out for you. Here we go. We're moving on to the Epsom Derby this Saturday. Let's load up the betting for this. Here we go with Skillbet. Don't forget to sign up with Skillbet. You will get yourself a £10 free bet if you use the code USOBET10. Bolshoi Ballywell is 5-4. Very short for the Derby with just the sole Aidan O'Brien runner this year. Moafeth at 13-2. John Leeper, who's been subject to the Adam Kirby wrath this weekend, hasn't he? Sorry, Adam, but, you know, you've been jocked off for a classic winning jockey anyway. Max Sweeney, 8-1. Hurricane Lane, 17-2. And 14-1 bar those. Andy, you have been keeping us. Well, you've not been keeping us because I've been keeping you, really. But you are going to give us an outsider here, 66-1. Is that right?
Yeah, it's a little bit shorter now. He's actually 50. So, but I did say thereabouts or something like that in the tweet, didn't I? There was a clue in the tweet because I said we're gearing up for the podcast tonight.
Oh
no, not gearing up. Oh, Mark Johnson.
No, I think I think Bolshoi Ballet or Bolshoi, because Tommy gave out to me, but I don't say it's properly Bolshoi Ballet.
Who needs more rain, geared up or St. Mark's Basilica?
We'll get to that in a minute. But yeah, the Kilmore boys, they've left Bolshoi Ballet as their sole representatives. So they're obviously balls deep in Bolshoi Ballet, but there's my joke tonight. But it's not good. But
terrible.
He was so impressive in 2 trials at Leopardstown. He beat Flying Visit and he beat Loch Derg. Now the form was kind of getting beaten senseless. No, that's Loch Derg Spirit.
He beat Max Sweeney, didn't he?
Max Sweeney wasn't well, though, was he? Was he? Look, Fernando Vici did something for the form tonight. He was he won a race at Leopardstown. I think Chris backed him, didn't you?
I sure did. Fernando Vici. It's not an after tab.
No.
Mr. Nat Patches.
So yeah, no, Fernando Vici, he won a he was a winner tonight, so. Good.
In your own time, Andy.
yes, Fernando Fernando Vici, he won the listed race tonight, which obviously makes the form look a little bit better. It just has to be very significant that he's Aidan O'Brien's only entrant here in the Derby. You know, they're not even putting in a pacemaker, they're not even that worried. So he must be just literally catching pigeons on Aidan O'Brien's mock version at Tottenham Corner. The reason I do fancy Gear Up to be placed, I don't think he necessarily needs heavy ground. I think he did win a heavy ground Group One, but he won an Acom Stakes on pretty quick ground as well, beating Spycatcher. He didn't seem to handle Newmarket too well. And then he ran okay behind Hurricane Lane. He ran as if he kind of blew up or needed to run. Now, on pedigree, he might prefer 10 furlongs. 10 furlongs might be his thing. But if he won a 10 furlong Group One as a two-year-old, the likelihood is he's going to get 12 at bare minimum as a three-year-old. This is a family that Jim Bolger bred. He decided to sell this lad. And I just think if he can get out in front, I'm not 100% sure where the pace is going to come from here. But if he can get out in front, he could go quite well for Ben Curtis and Mark Johnston. I think he's a very, very nice horse. And I think maybe just because he ran slightly below par in the Dante, he's getting completely overlooked here. Hurricane Lane, 8-1 is pretty fair price they'll hit for a Dante winner. And they're usually a lot shorter. Gale Force, he's out of Gale Force, a Scirocco mare who was a stayer. And Frankel tends to do a lot better when he gets given mares that were able to stay. Yeah, when they're stayers and not sprinters, they tend to be a lot better. And you can kind of see that with John Leper as well, who's out of Snow Fairy.
He's a leper now, is it?
John Leper. he was pretty decent at Newmarket. I'm not sure it was the best race in the world. There's money for him because they decided to stick Frankie Dettori on him instead of Adam Kirby. I can't understand. Like, I'd happily have Hurricane Lane over John Leeper. And one's 8-1, the other's 13-2. Max Swinney, I think he was the second best horse in the Irish Guineas. I know I backed him, but I think Poetic Flair was a slightly unlucky loser. I think Ronan Reelan nicked that from the front. He should stay to 12, but it's starting to become apparent that maybe, like, it's hard to say that he doesn't prefer soft ground at this stage. I don't like pigeonholing horses, but he does look like an absolute mudlark. It's kind of hard to see anything past them. A huge price as well. Like, but I'm kind of I've stamina reservate. I'd be reservations about stamina there. He won the Autumn Stakes
as well.
Yeah, he might prefer it soft. He did win a soft ground Autumn, and he was a bit unlucky behind Max Swinney at Doncaster.
Yeah.
He ran very well in the Guineas. He ran like an outpaced horse in the Guineas. He was pushed along quite early, and he did respond to the jockey's urgings, but he just was one-paced. I think that the step-up and trip to maybe 10 furlongs, I thought French Derby personally, by the Bowie out of a decent Chamardal mare, doesn't screen 12 furlongs to me. I would have preferred to see him in the Prix de Jockey Club on Sunday. But they're running them here, which is fair enough. But now for maybe a Bolshoi Ballet, I think is already past the line here. But I do really think Gear Up is, I think he's a huge chance to be second. I think he's been completely overlooked for a two-year-old Group One winner that, like, he ran fine in the Dante. But I think he could be, this trip could be the making of him. And if he gets an easier lead, don't say I didn't tell you so.
It was a seasonal debut as well, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. He ran like he needed it as well. So I do think that 12 furlongs really suit him.
And if this comes in, but things are going to explode.
We'll see.
It's just going to explode. Stephen, where are you going, buddy?
Mark Johnson doesn't train Derby winners, does he?
DXB ran out. Was he not placed in it?
Mr. Bailey, he was. He went behind us. Mr. Bailey's.
The communique not winning this.
Well, he won the Guinness, didn't he? But he was from Derby, I think, behind. Was it Erhard, I think, 94 or something. Anyway, favourite does look so solid, doesn't he? Yeah, I sort of ask myself after four, he should be twos on, shouldn't he? But will he get bored of his Frank horses like they start putting pocket or something like that? I don't know. But, you got John Lee, the second best in his Frank West Snow Fairy. Snow Fairy was an Oaks winner. She won the year Workforce won the Derby. Max Winnie, like Andy said, the profile strikes and also needs an absolute bog. Harlan, I'm sort of against because I thought I was of the impression that High Definition would definitely reverse the Dandy form. The fact he's not running disappoints me as well, but I sort of tells me they know what they've got under their bonnet. Ferran was totally unfancied at Lingfield in Derbyshire. I think he went off about 21. So, camera is an afterthought. Or normally, with varying runners, there's normally a few quid if they like him. Interesting. It's a good about the stamina on the mother side. Flintry Shamadale was a brilliant miler. Well, I think. Week of the Guineas, he was backed off the boards earlier in the week. I know the market was a bit messed up that week. It was all shut up and changed. But he went about 4-1 at one point and ended up drifting right out on the day. But he did run a good race. It wouldn't shock me if he was placed. Mohaf, he's won two conditions races at the market. He's won them really easily. Really good on the eye. Like, I think he's a serious animal. I'm just finding it hard to get past the favourite, though. The way one or two trials on Ireland was just breathtaking. If you think back to the other races, the previous winners of that race, you think of, like, even going back to Galloway, High Chaparral, actually in Chronicum Webson again. So, Carson said something interesting on the telly the other week. I don't know if you boys saw it, but he was asked that to the three of the trials. And he questioned whether he get home. I got shocked by that. He just said he showed so much speed.
Well, he's going into the unknown, he is, and you know, it's very rare that he has shown a lot of speed. It's very rare that they have that much national speed and they stay. But
he made the fact that he never went further clear from the furlong market to the line, which
he does them. Like we talked a lot about Jacques Pourceau, he does them before the last furlong,
there was no prisoners in either of them trials. It wasn't easing up, was he? But I'm not agree with that statement here. I'm just sticking out of it. It was
just ending now. You're back in the favourite.
I've got an anti-post bet with Santa Barbara anyway, with the favourite 9-4. But I'm going to back my Mohaf on the day. I've been impressed with the two runs. It's a step into the unknown, obviously, up in class, going up to different guys. But on the eye, it's looked brilliant. The trouble is, it's both been at Newmarket, so it's going to be a complete different kettle of fish for it. But Hagg isn't running in these classics unless he thinks he's got a chance. I think there was a stat a few years ago. I think it was like he's had two or three Epsom winners with about only five or six runners. I think Dancing Rain was the first. No, Charmit was the first that won the Derby back in the early noughties, I think. And then he didn't have a runner until Dancing Rain, like 10, 15 years later. So the fact he's running, it's quite significant. Because he could easily go to Ascot for the Mullen race in a couple of weeks, you know.
Yeah, 100%. 100% he could. Question here from Paddy and Bramber. What about Youth Spirit by Camelot, winner of the Chester Vars last time? Did he quite well too, Deck?
I think he'll run a big race. Sandhorse was staying on behind him, and I think Sandhorse could be a decent bet for the Leisure at the moment. But I think he'll run a big race.
What's your thoughts surrounding this, the Derby this year, Deck?
Yeah, look, it's interesting, Steve, that Steve mentioned. Who was he said, Steve, said they had concerns about the favourite getting the trip?
Willie Carson.
Willie Carson said it on a live interview.
Yeah, I think he does have stamina to prove. He's been the most impressive of the field so far. There's no doubting about that. And he's hit the line well in 10-4 long races. He's gone around Leopardstown twice. Aiden's come out and said about winning around Leopardstown, you know, you do have to come down the hill quite fast. And that's where he's done it, really, at Leopardstown. That's where he's had that turn of speed and put the race to bed. Like I was going to say, we talked a lot about Jacques Courtois putting the race to bed, you know, before they get racing, really. And that's what this horse has done. And the fact that, I know Andy's in an interesting theory on why he may be the only Kilmar runner, but, you know, it was Vincent O'Brien said, you know, if you have five Derby runners, you probably don't have one good enough. You know, if you've one, you just run the one. And he has put 10 shoulders above the rest of them. But, you know, I know Tommy Cummins is all over him, but I don't have as much money as Tommy Cummins to be backing horses this short. So I need to look for value further down the field. Yeah, look, it is an unknown. And Epsom, look, I know you think I hate flat racing, but I love the Derby. I really, really love the Derby. It's one of my favourite races of the year. They get racing so early in the Derby. And horses, you have to stay. You really, really have to stay to win it. And I suppose that is a concern. And that's the possible chink in his armour that I'm clinging on to take him on because he's too short for me to be backing. John Lieber is obviously a romantic story. Probably not good enough. He'll drop in class and people will be finding ways to back him. And he'll go off too short for probably 12 months now. And he might not win another race. Max Winnie won't handle the ground, as Andy has covered. Now, Halfhead, he's been impressive at Newmarket the last twice. It's a big step up, but he's open to a fair amount of improvement, to be fair. So I wouldn't be putting anyone off him. Third Realm won the Lingfield trial. It's a big step up. Southern Lights, I think, is interesting. You know, he looks well held at Leopardstown, but he was impeded and he ran up the arse of a couple of horses. And, you know, he probably would have run a better race if he got a run there. It was the race that Balshoy Ballet won the last day. And he could definitely be overpriced. One Ruler, I think, may want a soft. A day behind Third Realm at Langfield. You Spirit, I mentioned already, like he's won the Chester Baz against the staying on sand horse, and I think there's a big run in him. And he's covered gear up quite well. I just think on this ground around Epsom, he's worth taking on. And Mojo Star is in there, I know nothing about. But the horse for me is the winner of the Dante, and he won it staying on. And he looks high class. I think he's a big, big chance, and I think he's good value at that price. He was 11th before Aiden took all his horses out, and he's only been clipped into 8th. When I heard Aiden took all his horses out, apart from Bolshoi Ballet, I was thinking, Jesus, he's going to be about 4-1. But at 8th, I think he's still good value, you know. He obviously got that green tick being a Frankel. And Andy's mentioned the breeding there, you know. Like Cracksman's the good example. A lot of the early Frankels were, you know, they had a lot of his traits. They were very, very keen. They were never going to get this trip. Frankel was too keen. You know, he attacked his races. He was never going to get home in the Derby. And that's why he was a phenomenal miler. And nothing more than that. But yeah, look, I think Hurricane Haney, he has some of those traits. Yeah, He's not keen like a lot of the Frankels can be. I think he's high class. He's a little bit inexperienced, but he won the Dandy and he toughed it out that day. I think he's a big, big chance. So I think he's good value. He's also, you know, going into the unknown. Many of them have proven they've got the trip, actually. Have any of them ran over? The Lingfield trial is 1.5 miles, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, it is.
Mile and three.
You know, so...
It's been a good trial recently as well. Andy Van Dyke,
Yeah, look, you know, and it's similar to Epsom. It's probably the most underrated trial there is. If you know, down there you can go around Epsom really. I reckon Ballet haven't gone around Leopardstown twice now. He'll handle Epsom, and I get what he's saying because when he's quickly in his races, it's, you know, he's going downhill at Leopardstown. So he can obviously quicken going downhill. He probably is going to get it. I'm just going to gamble that he doesn't get the trip and Hurricane Lane does. I think Hurricane Lane is high class. It's two high class horses. I'd say it's nearly a match between them. And I think Southern Lights will definitely outrun his odds.
I think Cameron said high rise when Lingfield Jake did. He should have been thrown out of the derby as well when he won it. Olivier Pellier took absolute liberties. He got whipped band in Pete Chapelham was called Colonel Collins. City Honours. But yeah, that's going back a few years.
Get off reeling in the ears there, Stuart.
I was just thinking about what Dick said about his dog. He looks in trouble in the Danny as well, you know. He really stuck it on well, you know, late on.
Well, I really like him, like, you know, and you know I love the boys in blue as well. So.
Yeah, I love the boys in blue too.
Come on, you boys.
No, yeah. So Hurricane Lane for Declan.
Great Hurricane Lane for me, yeah.
Stephen?
I'm probably going to bet one ruler each way, but yeah, it's over my half. I'm going to say a 6-1 shot and a 25-1 shot, but the favourite looks like a really good thing, but I think lots of 3 or 4 could just be anything, couldn't they, in this race?
I actually really fancy Hurricane Lane. I really fancy him. He's not just my selection because I have to. I think he's high class. I think he's
Is he in that?
Yeah, go on. I'll nap him.
I'm going to the Haggis on Chris Mahaffey, and I've been a bit in there.
Thanks for that, Steve. Andy, you?
Gear up. I'd say, yeah, we're probably wasting our time. I think the favourite will win, but I think Gear Up is a great chance. I'll be reverse forecasting them with the favourite, and I'll be backing them as well each way.
Okay, boys. Okay. Right. That brings us to the end of our derby preview, but let's go through anything else that we've got coming up over this weekend. Anything else, boys? Anything of notice from yourself, Declan?
Yeah, there's a horse I think I mentioned her to you before. She's running at Lingfield 6:45 on Saturday. Profound Alexander. I can't think of a horse who won the race. Hang on. Flotus.
Yeah, Flotus, I remember that one.
I just like to say Profound Alexander. She was probably force beaten and stead on really, really well. I thought she might have stepped up and tripped with 6 furlongs again, but I think she might be worth a go.
Flotus is well fancied for the Albany, isn't she? Or is it?
Yeah, she is. Yeah.
Yeah. Was that good one? I think.
Yeah. No, I saw that. There's not many 7 furlong 2-year-old races at this time of year, so they're probably just hands are probably a bit tired and staying at 6.
Although, yeah. I like the way after she was, you know, probably force beaten, she tucked it out, got a bit of a run and ran on well.
Yeah. No.
I agree with that. I think that's a decent bet myself. Is that the only one, Deck, from you, Sue?
Oh, well, obviously, Hurricane Lane and Maximal.
Oh, definitely got to be Maximal. Andy, anything from you this weekend?
Yeah, I'm laying Alassie for a place. I'll probably back Japan. I'll definitely back Maximal. And stay, yeah, just notify me there. Irish Admiral runs tomorrow in a mile handicap at Epsom. I put him up last week for the Royal Hunt Cup. He may need to win tomorrow to guarantee his place. I think 96 should get you into the Royal Hunt Cup, but tomorrow, look, he's 11-8. I'm like, it's a 10 runner handicap, I think, at Epsom. I wouldn't be tipping him at that price, but I'm telling you now, this is the best handicapped horse in England. And he'll probably win tomorrow. Look, there's a chance, like, you know, with Epsom, inexperienced horse, that could happen. But look, if he runs in the Royal Hunt Cup, he'll win the Royal Hunt Cup. So I'll be having a close look at him tomorrow. And then, yeah, Gear Up in the Derby. And I think that's pretty much everything for me, Chris. Yeah, Maximal's my nap, though, like everybody else.
Anthony Cummins, Anthony Cousins. I keep saying Anthony Cummins, isn't it? 3-1 into 11-8 for the Irish Admiral.
Yeah, no, just watch him. Just watch him. And just hover over the betting button for the Royal Hunt Cup once he crosses the line in front, because he'll be, he's like 10 or 12 to 1. He wins that, he'll go off ludicrous. He'll go off 7-2.
Yeah, go off short, won't he? Stephen, anything from you?
I'll go back to Maximal, obviously, now.
Yeah, Maximal.
He will agree with me. Most of the years, I probably don't know. I've been backing Van Gogh for the Derby most of the year, so the fact that he's going to run at Shanty on Sunday, I will be chasing my losses.
And yeah,
going head to head with Andy, it was soft ground horses.
If it's soft ground, I think he'll go very, very close. I think it's a really good. Obviously, St Mark's Basilica is going to be favourite, but McGowan's no fault in that race. I know he seems like one of them horses that have run a lot, but he ran a blinder in a Dente. And he's got top class form.
Really good renewal by the looks of that.
It's a really good renewal, yeah. But I'll be chasing losses, trying to recoup some of the empty posts for Epsom.
Yeah, you want to have a little chat about the Prix de Jockey Club?
There's no point. We know the winner.
That was a shit.
When the ground is quick, I'll just be leaning at a wall at Leopardstown watching St Mark's Basilica win the Irish Champion Stakes, just winking at Dex saying it's off ground.
St Knapp's Basilica.
You don't get off ground at
Leopardstown,
though. What is this? No, he won't. He'll win it on quick ground. Poetic Flair wouldn't get 10 furlongs in the back of a horse box. He won a 5 furlong March 2-year-old race. He's a
miler.
Jean-Claude Rouget's got 2 for the Aga Khan that's unbeaten. Watch 3 or 4 times.
Yeah, the D-Stakes winner El Drama goes over there too.
Yeah, El Drama. I was surprised by that. I thought he might go to the Derby.
French stuff, you might get a few arc pointers.
There's Darab as well. Very smart looking horse for John Godson. Again, by See the Stars, I think the mare consented.
He won in France, didn't he? He won everywhere though, didn't he?
See the Stars was just a.
He just went everywhere.
I don't know if Franco got air. I think he was on the no fly list or something. But that French Derby looks phenomenal. I think Van Gogh will run very, very well. Colin Keane taking the ride, even though he was snapped up by I think Dermot Wells is using him. Obviously Jer Lyons, he's some jockey though.
He's fantastic. He's probably the best jockey in Ireland, I would say. He's probably the best jockey in the world, I think, Colin Keane. I'd put him up there.
I just seen Policy Approved, who I tipped up for the Guineas, Longchamp, is running, and he was probably the pace in the race. I think he'll relish the extra 2 furlongs. He could be a danger. Is there any betting for it?
Not that I can see.
Not from Stu, but there should be. St Mark's was
9-4, I think, in the week. I'm just going to have a quick look.
Yeah, what is Policy of Truth? Because he was fourth in the Guineas, and he was probably just done for tow a little bit, and he might prefer this.
Loading up. Don't seem to have betting for it.
Just while we're looking for that, I can also see the Cotties out this weekend.
Sixes. Macallon 8s. Darab 8s. McGowan's 10s. El Drama 12s. Then you've got the Aga Khan pair 12s.
What's Policy of Truth?
20-1.
I get 25s off still. Cotty's out to Kilbegan. Well, she's entered. She's not declared yet.
Well, yeah, entered at Kilbegan, yeah.
Yeah.
Sealaway's a massive price. He had really good form.
As soon as you can get a price on Cotty for the Mayor's Novice Hurdle, take it.
Seal Away as gills, Steve.
Deal.
That team, like that Haydock in a monsoon wouldn't be soft enough for Seal Away, probably.
He ran every gig last year, didn't he?
Hey, Deck, have you seen who's running tomorrow?
Sorry?
Have you seen who's running tomorrow, Deck?
Who's running?
Deke Ilondes.
Is he?
Already, yeah, Down Royal tomorrow, yeah. 8:05. Irish Deco runs at 8:05 tomorrow. He's 92 on the flat.
Wendy Hayes will appreciate that.
I'd say yeah. It's pretty amateur handicap of Galway.
Yeah. Just two from me for this weekend. The first one, you'll know who it is, boys. Come on, guess. What's the horse that I tipped up last time that won that will win again this weekend?
Wait, Danny, you probably told us after the race.
Chris Wall, absolutely bollocks.
It's King Mania, probably.
King Mania. And what trip do you think he's running over?
Mile?
No, he's running over seven again.
I'd need to get her up to
that's
mile.
Dodgy. That's dodgy. Where's he running?
Yeah. He's running at 6.653 at Doncaster, but he is odds on, so just leave him alone this weekend. He is going to be better than that, obviously. But there is... There's one horse that I really do like this weekend. Running tomorrow in the race after King Mania, it's a class two over seven. No, it's just shy of a mile, actually. 7 furlongs, 200 and something yards. Spencer's in the saddle, you know, main man Spencer. But it's Tiger Crusade for the Simcock Yard. If you watched that horse's run last time, it was pretty sweet. Kempton. I think he's well in here off 95. I think he's a 100 rated animal. Way better than this field. Blue Mist is also in that race. You'll probably remember that one, Stephen. Anyway, Beat Le Bon's in that race. Other ones, Turn on the Charm, Ibre, some other ones in there. But I think Tiger Crusade looks like a horse that's going to go on to bigger and better things. He absolutely demolished the field at Kempton last time. I think he'll do the exact same again. Hold up tactics over that mile at Doncaster. He's 3-1, and he's probably my nap of the weekend there.
Bertie Whittle used to run there, didn't he, every time of day?
That's right. Well, thanks for joining us tonight, boys. It's been a long one, but it's been a good one. I hope we have a nice weekend.
Cheers, lads. Cheers,
lads. Yeah. I will run a little Twitter competition, I think, at the weekend. If we can get anybody who likes this tweet, I'm going to put out. I'll put a tweet out about the dash. I'll give you all a number. Whoever wins, you can get some of these.
Can I get some, Chris? Can I?
Yeah, you'll get some eventually. Yeah, I'll get round. Once I've got to play that air postage over to Ireland, unless I send it over. I'll send it over with some winnings that you come over with next time. You know, you Irish guys set the winnings over. Yeah, I'll just chuck it in the backpack with it.
In the back doors with the sterling.
Yeah, I'll just chuck it in that backpack. Right, well, thanks, guys.
Cheers, boys.
And we will see you all again next week. Thanks for joining.
Thanks for listening. Make sure to follow us on Twitter. Head on over to our handle at USO Podcast and click the notification bell to never miss an episode.